everybody. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. I'm Alex. I'm here in Portland, alone. Joining us this week in Brooklyn, it's Chris, alone.
I'm also alone. Hello, Alex.
Hey, bachelor buddy. And still at home and happy with his family. It's Ezra and Sarah and a sleeping baby.
Actually, Caleb's in the other room. We're also alone.
Yeah,
it's great.
We're alone.
It's fantastic.
Welcome to a very special loner episode of Pack Your Mics. And what a week it's been to have
wow.
No Tanya or Megan input. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about. First of all, I just want to congratulate all of us in finally getting a quick fire about beans. I think we've waited long enough.
Yes.
I was so happy the entire time.
Beantown
awesome.
Is back, baby.
I can only assume it's going to happen every challenge the rest of the season is just going to be about beans. Now that
every quick
Mexico,
fire for the
yeah.
rest of Boston is about beans.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You of course, know, it wasn't about baked sad. Beans.
No, it wasn't really about baked beans. I was hoping it was going to be more.
No. Although baked beans.
I liked it. It was kind of like, it was like they threw some baked bean shade and then were like, you don't even have to do that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like
baked beans
Boston really
anymore.
Yeah. That was unfortunate for me because I was really waiting for my moment of baked beans in the sun.
The Fox family really loves baked beans, I have
oh,
to
do
say.
They?
Yeah. Well, your sister
too.
Does.
Well,
you
yeah.
Too.
I guess, yeah. My sister and I, you know, I think from even different things. Because when my sister was living in London, she was a big fan of baked beans. That's it's part of breakfast.
Beans and toast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy baked beans just fine, but they are out of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They're not out of fashion with you, but...
They're not the trendiest of beans.
It's pretty gloppy, as food goes.
I want gloppy food trends to be coming back then, I think.
It wasn't until they all had to cook a bean dish that I realized that pretty much all beans are unfashionable. It just, none of that seemed super exciting. No one was like, yeah, beans.
Yeah, people were actually pretty dready about beans.
Which I actually
dready
love.
Beans.
So. Chris, why did you like that?
What? No, I love beans.
Yeah!
Yeah, I think they're tasty and a great source of vegetable protein. But
one of the first things that Ezra taught Caleb when Caleb was first born was all the different types of beans. He just would list them over and over again.
Yeah,
like
well, it's because there's a story that I would tell him about like his great grandpappy Bean Fox, and like he's like you know he went to the old country, you know, with black beans, lima beans, pinto beans, baked beans. Butter beans.
It's like every other baby in the world knows all the colors and the animals and their corresponding sounds, and your son is just going to be like, Pinto! That's Pinto!
Yeah.
I know.
He's going to be a bean trained from a young age to be a bean master.
Wow. It's funny when you list them in a row, too, that I realize how many beans are not good.
What? Which of these beans did you approach? No, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know. I want to start this. Let's go to the show.
Well, as a kid, I hated lima beans. I think that's a kid.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Lima beans now.
It's the worst bean. Yeah. It's the worst bean.
Do you guys think that Wiley Dufresne likes beans, or do you think that he merely tolerates beans?
From the look on his face, Wiley Dufresne merely tolerates the existence of this show and us and a lot of things. He's a
everything but eggs. He's super passionate about eggs.
Yeah,
the
egg
only
slut.
Thing that gets Wiley going, the only thing that gets him out of bed in the morning is the possibility he'll get an egg.
Maybe he's at home and his family is like, Wiley, get up. And he's like, it's Sunday. And they're like, I'll give you an egg. And he's like, oh, I'm up.
Do you think maybe this is just a long con that like Wiley Dufresne's actually those rats from Chicken Run? That he's just like two rats standing on each other's shoulders trying to get eggs.
Wait. Did you just say that Wiley Dufresne is as tall as two rats?
Standing on each other's shoulders.
Wearing one coat, though.
Yeah. One Wiley Dufresne body.
I just can't buy that, Ezra. Now, if you had said one rat with long sticks that have gloves and shoes on them, I would buy that. But there's
well,
no way it's just two rats.
Okay, well, how about two rats, and there are some sticks in there somewhere.
Okay, that's fine. That's possible. Myth plausible.
Oh, boy.
So Wiley Dufresne came on.
Sorry. Two rats in a trench coat.
No, not clicking on that video.
With sticks.
Nope. So Wiley Dufresne from WD-50 and like other famous molecular
the
gastronomy
now closed
restaurants.
WD-50.
What?
WD-50 closed this past year.
Oh.
So now he has another one. Is it Alder? That's his other big New York City restaurant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It must have closed since the show filmed, right? Because
they
I think
it?
They mentioned it.
Or do
it.
I just hear that whenever I hear his name?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's too bad. Did it close because no one loves his stuff, or
no one likes eggs quite as much?
Yeah.
No, I forget if it was a kind of a real estate thing, or
it would
if
be
it
great
was...
if his restaurant was just called Eggs 10 Ways. Was
it? Oh, it's a great 10 ways though. No, I don't know why it closed, but it was not due to lack of critical appeal.
Yeah, certainly not. So anyway, he came by to have them cook beans. He didn't seem to care. May won for her horrifying pinto bean foam with a perfectly cooked egg underneath it.
Yeah, yep. But May got her first quick fire win in 12 episodes for this. She's been so strong for so long. And
it looked like whipped
terrible at quick fires.
So strong for so long is kind of a good motto for May. I hope that she gets it on a shirt or a headband.
So strong. So
yeah.
Strong.
Print that on a headband.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you guys, we're not, like, let's dwell on how horrifying the pinto bean foam looked.
It looked really bad.
That was pretty bad.
But she played the game, you know? She said, this is what he likes. I'm going to make it and then hide it in beans so that I can't get yelled at for not using beans.
Yeah, yeah, he likes eggs. Yeah. He likes shitty foams. I'm going to give them both.
Was this the first time that someone's really actually succeeded with a foam on this show? I feel like foams almost always go badly on this show.
You know, maybe for really Wiley easy. They do, though. Mm. Like, yeah. They
well,
do
that's
succeed.
True. I don't know. I think it's so easy to remember the foams that don't work, but the foams that do work... No, really, because, like, there are foams
have
that
foam,
have been like,
foam
oh,
bias?
Someone's like...
Yeah.
Some people go, oh, that was a nice touch, and then they forget about it because it's foam.
So, like, I guess, okay, great. So it works only when it's super subtle, but no one has ever made foam the star of a dish and won with it.
Right.
I would love that. Yeah. Like, I want to highlight the foam. Like, you really should make the foam the hero of this dish.
She did.
She did.
I mean, it didn't even look like a foam. It just looked like it looked. It wasn't that
a poop
foamy.
Pile.
It was like,
yeah. Let's be straight up. It looked like cat spit.
Ugh. Oh, that's actually fairly generous, I think. Sarah, our reads was it was poop. Clearly.
Yeah.
It definitely
clearly poop.
More like,
okay. Yeah. Poop on top of black bean and corn.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was probably the other big thing that they liked is that she had two different beans in it. Like, she didn't seem to be running away from the beans.
Oh, you know, although Melissa had two different beans, she had both butter beans and chickpeas.
But it wasn't beany enough.
Yeah.
Taste-wise.
Yeah, no, she made pork tenderloin with some beans around it, and May was like...
And beautiful vegetables.
Beautiful vegetables.
Yeah.
Right. But May's was like, what if this was a bones? What if this was just a soup made of beans, a bean foam soup?
Yeah.
Oof. But yeah. Well, good for May. Glad to see her winning. She won no immunity, thank goodness. But she did get a bunch of stuff from Terlato Wines. Finally.
Yeah. Well, no, she got a trip to Napa where she said she's going to go and she's going to get wasted.
Yeah.
I have to ask. Is there anything left in Terlato Wines, like, now? I feel like they've given everything away they own.
No, wineries have so much money, too.
They
grow grapes and sell them at wine prices.
That's fair.
In the finale, you get to win $125,000 provided by the Glad family of products, and you get the shirt off Terlato Wines back. I think that's the way the show works.
Yeah. Now, I have a question for our California contingent here. I mean, Melissa was really stoked to win that Napa vacation, and she's based out of SF. I mean, is a short drive to a vacation something that you would really look forward to?
It is, because it's so expensive up there that it's still fun and, like, a different thing to do, to, like, go stay at a nice place and do wine tasting. I mean, not that we do it often.
No,
we've done it, like, once, and it felt special.
Yeah. I would be less excited, but, I mean, a free trip's a free trip.
Yeah.
I'm not going to...
And I grew up in Sonoma, so...
Yeah. Still,
and I still am like, ooh, Napa. But I think that's the media's fault.
Napa media bias.
Yeah.
Thanks, patriarchy.
Well, that is a good question, actually, because, like, if there's somebody... Whenever they do, like, a close destination, it does feel kind of unfair for a prize. Like, the same... Like, she gets to drive, but if they were in New York, she still would have gotten the same prize, right? So do they just get off the hook for that extra money?
Okay, so maybe I would have actually given... Like, sold the prize to May at, like undercutting the price, I guess, maybe a little bit. And then, like, pocketing that extra money and then still getting to go to Napa.
It might also be a problem because, like, maybe they make you fly to New York and then fly to Napa from there.
Whatever it is, you have to go out of New York.
Sure. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So let's jump into let's get to the elimination now. So the challenge was, in honor of Wiley Dufresne and his love of things that are innovative. No eggs this last round, oddly, but the challenge was basically just to innovate. It was to do something innovative.
Which is a shitty challenge, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I agree that, like, demanding that people innovate on the fly and also that it be really, really good is super hard.
It's also super vague, which we...
Yeah, that's the issue.
It wasn't, like, use some modern techniques to make... Like, it wasn't, like, clearly an MG challenge. It was, like...
Right.
And they were really judgmental about it. I mean, innovative means it's something new, right? That's what that word means.
Those judges were super judgy.
Who would have thought? But I thought, for example, Gregory's idea of different textures and that, you know, didn't normally go together. Yeah, I think that's innovative. But they were
making,
like,
quote-unquote, chicken and salmon skin crispy crisps.
No, but he put chicken... Okay,
on soupy soup and salmony salmon.
So, obviously, we're getting into the heart of the issue here, which is, was like, Gregory, does he deserve to stay around even though his dish was less...
Yeah, by cooking good. Merely a great dish.
But here... Yeah, it seems like we're largely on Gregory's side, but I want to say a fish wearing the skin of a chicken, that's not normal. That seems pretty groundbreaking to me.
It's pretty in fashion in the right circles, Alex. I don't know. Maybe you don't watch the fish runways like I do.
Yeah.
from New York Fishing Week?
That was pretty good.
That's pretty good. That was actually too good for me to even process it.
It was difficult to catch.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this issue some more then. So what ends up happening is we end up with Gregory on the bottom for cooking something perfect and delicious, along with...
It was salmon and Tom Kha, and his innovation was crunching it up texturally.
And also sticking a hunk of salmon in a soup that doesn't usually have a hunk of salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Salmon Tom Kha sounds terrible, and he made it delicious. That's awesome.
Okay.
Here's a confession.
Like, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, is just that I love salmon more than most foods in the whole world, and if salmon's on the menu, I will likely order the salmon.
Whoa! Wait! A quick test: pizza
with salmon
or salmon?
Sorry. Do you love salmon more than pizza? Is what I mean.
Oh,
yeah.
I think maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you order salmon pizza?
Two item menu: salmon, chocolate ice cream with peanut butter in it.
Oh, no! No!
Wait.
Have I already eaten dinner?
No.
Can I order both things?
No.
No?
They're both from you, and you have to go towards one of them.
Oh, no!
It's going to split in half.
The other one disappears as soon as you grab it.
Oh, it's like a puzzle. It's like Prince of Persia.
I gotta go with ice cream on that one.
Yeah.
What about salmon flavored ice cream? Would you eat that?
No.
Nope.
Get out.
So it sounds like actually one of the big problems here was that Gregory just did not do a great job of bullshitting his innovation when he was
talking.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because
if he'd said, like, this is a Thai dish that is often made with some Thai fish and it never goes with a salmon, but salmon is a Pacific Northwest thing, which is what we eat up in where I'm from, and so we, like you could have made a case that...
You could totally bullshit your way through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think... Here's a question for you. Do you think that episode 4 Gregory would have been a better talker about that dish than episode 12 Gregory?
I'm going to say it would have been better everything about that dish.
Yeah, he's tired, man.
He's tired. That's and his possible. Nerves are just like...
He's also made perfect curries. He won with it like 4 weeks in a row, and so now they're less impressed. So back in episode 4, the judges would be like, look, I mean, it is innovative. He made it perfectly.
Yeah.
And now they're like, yeah, we're sick of perfection from you, Gregory.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should have just... You know what he should have done? Added some element that was like a little bit crazy... That made the dish worse, but still better than George's.
Yeah. See, this is this is what it feels like they're asking for. I mean, the whole idea of what is innovative is so bizarre because Melissa was hugely rewarded for walnut miso, which doesn't sound life changing to me. I don't know.
No.
That seems like a small...
Have you had it?
No.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Alex. It's just, you know, it's a flavor, and it's maybe a little different than they've tasted, but. I'm sure they haven't had salmon and Tom Kha before either. So what makes a new flavor versus a new flavor different?
Yeah. I don't get that at all. But let's actually do, since we got some people weighing in here, so we need some.
Do we have another
mailbag?
Man, we were really missing out on the Sopranos in this one.
I was trying to help out.
I know. Why are you not three people, sir?
Sorry.
So let's start with Eunice on Facebook.com/packyourmics. I don't think I agree with the judge's decisions this week. If the challenge was about innovation, even if George overcharged the octopus, why should Gregor win if it's the same old that he's cooked for with just a slight twist? Don't get me wrong, I'm not a George champion in any way, but I do like Gregory better, but I'm just thinking that's what the challenge called for.
I like that I'm not a George champion is the new I'm not racist, but.
Yeah.
Well, you also don't have to say it, because no one is a George champion, so that's implied.
I like him.
Except
he's
for you,
fine.
Listener Mike Isabella.
Yeah, maybe Mike Isabella. I did not. I mean, he's fine. He just has no business being there.
Yeah. So here's my response to Eunice is that, you know, whenever they have like a challenge to innovate, it's never, or a challenge for anything that's more of a theme, it's never do this at the expense of making delicious food.
Totally.
It's always make delicious food and.
Yeah.
And so
Gregory
sort of said
this, but in my experience from watching the show, you never go home for cooking something incredible.
Yeah.
Like the only time that would happen is if everybody else cooked something like Michelin star worthy, and then they also took the challenge more seriously. But like in Gregory's case, it's just not happening. Like he's going to cook something so good, and they loved it. Whereas with George's charred octopus, Gail's lovable alien Gail Simmons said it's the char on the end of the octopus which I made the mistake of eating. And if there's something on your dish that is a mistake to eat, you can't eat a perfect Thai dish that's not that innovative.
Yeah. Can you call it a choctopus now?
I don't know what to do with that. I'm sorry.
Order it.
So, yeah. Did you guys read Gail's blog this week?
No.
So she was saying that not only was, kind of the octopus overcharred, and they mentioned this in the episode, but there were a number of components that just had no business being on the plate in George's dish.
Yeah, it was
that, you know, it really could have lost a couple of extraneous things. They didn't add to the food whatsoever. And she was disappointed as soon as she heard that George made octopus, because she knows George does Mediterranean food, and the fact that George is doing octopus really was not impressive.
But Chris,
in any way
he put the head in a meat grinder.
That was
gross.
Such a terrible image.
That's so gross.
But also, like, you know, basically, it may have been more innovative in a couple of components, but if the overall picture isn't something that you're happy with, the innovation isn't good innovation, and therefore it's not going to win.
Yeah.
Also, with Tom, this is another classic Top Chef thing, is that Tom is never going to let you get away with badly cooked main ingredients. Like, you can't...
Main proteins?
You can't cook your protein badly and get away with it. That's just not the show.
Yeah.
I think that's really the flaw of the show, is that you can stay in by just cooking great food and totally ignoring the challenges, which is less fun for us, but you're not going to get eliminated for cooking an amazing, amazing dish unless in the off chance everyone else's was just as good and they followed the challenge. But that really doesn't happen that often.
No, it's pretty rare,
right? So you can stay in up until the very, very end and maybe even get yourself to the final where you're just told to cook the best dish of your life and then you're fine. But I don't know.
I don't consider that a flaw of the show, because I love seeing people do things great. So if it was just like, cook great food with beans, cook great food outside, like, I don't feel like embracing the challenge is as important to me as watching people do something incredible and then watching the judges love it.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess the boring part is, like, when they're bored cooking, I guess, in a certain way, right? Like, where it's like, it is interesting to watch people stretch. I mean, I think with the same thing, like, the innovation, whatever, the challenge stuff is the same as, like, sometimes there's like a teamwork or a leadership thing they sometimes throw out where it's like, oh, this person really helped out a lot. And that's like, at best, it's a tie break where it's like, if your food is equally good, then that might push you past the other person.
Right.
But
right.
it's never going to be enough to like make up for a shitty dish.
Other aspects of the challenge, such as the theme, such as leadership, can be like a bonus, but they're also a hedge against like, what if your dish isn't as amazing? Or what if your team lost this team challenge? Then it's, that's kind of a help, I guess, because something wasn't amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like a tiebreak, a hedge, which would be useful in like the Last Chance Kitchen, which we're going to talk about in a second, where it seems like there's a dead tie. But for something like this, where one of them tastes bitter and weird and the other one is incredible, it doesn't feel like a problem to me to pick the one that tastes incredible. I don't know, because like as you said, it's fun to watch them stretch, but it's never fun to watch them stretch and fail. Like, we want to see them stretch and succeed.
Unless we hate them.
Right. Well, that's true.
Nicholas.
Which is a little bit the case with George. Let me get to our next
mailbag.
So this is from J1 on packyourmics.com, who said,
J1.
Just a theory here, but the elves, he thinks the elves sense that there really wasn't a villain headed into the final rounds, and so they decided to feature George quite a bit in this episode so that we could all vent at his inane blathering. How irritated do you have to be to hear him talk about how much of a grind it's been, how many sleepless nights he's suffered, when he got to skip a half to two-thirds of the competition?
Yeah, that's true.
He did basically have, like, the warp flute of Top Chef.
He did, exactly. And Jake was like, maybe if we'd had to have seen him cook with stones for the first Thanksgiving or at a Fenway concession booth, maybe then it'd be believable that he was tired. But he got to skip all that. He transferred into class after midterms.
That's a good point. And he certainly does have a lot of opinions about the other chefs, which makes him a good candidate for the villain element. But Gregory had just as much shade to throw at George as George did at Gregory.
I think he just means that, like, they let George be more annoying than they had to because they wanted us to hate him enough to eliminate him.
I'm fine with this mix of people. Like, there's no one bad in it. Like, this is we're pretty lucky, I think, this season on the whole.
Yeah, for sure. Once we got rid of the douche hat, it got...
I don't remember him. He's gone.
He's gone, and actually, I really didn't like Carrie Ann.
Yeah, but I was going to say, those two.
Yeah.
Well, so let's do the... Because this all comes down to next... The Last Chance Kitchen. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, could we... Before we move on to Last Chance Kitchen, could we just talk about the winners?
Sure. Because the winners are never as exciting as the losers, but yeah.
Well, I was just... My question for you guys is... Do you agree with the judge's decision to favor Melissa over May in this competition?
What was the break? Like, what were their favorite things about the dishes now? Because remember, they're both delicious and innovated.
The walnut miso blew people's minds.
Well, in a subdued way, but also her milk was perfect.
Yeah,
and May's was way more complicated and way more innovative, I think, her duck wasn't quite
They kept
quite
talking
as...
about how innovative walnut miso is, and I just can't get over the fact that I don't care at all. It just is not that impressive to me. I don't know.
I thought May's was a way better candidate to win it all because they kept saying how delicious it was, but how weird it was, which sounds
like
it kind of fits the challenge perfectly. Like Tom's expression on his face, like how confused he was, but at the same time, he loved it. That's the challenge. Why didn't you win?
Tom was like a baby trying lemons the first time where it's like, he's like really confused and keeps on going back for more, but just like doesn't really know what's going on. And
Yeah.
I don't know why you're surprised that would lose to something that was incredibly delicious.
I think time will tell sort of on maybe May's dish will be like, oh, in 10 years people will like understand how great it was, but like it's really ahead
of
its time.
They just didn't get it, but they did.
May's gonna die born alone, and then in like 100 years Tom is gonna be people like Tom's descendants are gonna be talking about that incredible duck curry.
Exactly.
I'm not impressed. I don't know. I think both of them are fine. I think it's easy. I think they're basically sisters, and it's fine.
So they're going to the final, and Gregory edges out George, and he goes to the final. Goodbye, George.
Kind of Gregory backs his way into the final, and I don't know. I think Sarah and I felt a lot better about Melissa now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that, like she's actually putting together a string of wins. Doesn't seem like a fluke anymore.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Agreed. So I think it's gonna be really fun. So that's why I think it all comes down to this Last Chance Kitchen finale, which we got to see all of but the result, which was Dougie versus George cooking.
Was that so crazy that they cut off the tape right there? Like I don't know if there's a glitch or something like that.
Yeah, just weird.
What a cock up. Someone's face is red.
Yeah.
It's so weird watching this going knowing there's no ending. It's really frustrating.
It's like the second Hobbit movie.
I forgot, and I was like, "Huh? What?
Yeah,
really?"
Well, we knew, and we were waiting for it, even like a few seconds before they didn't announce it. But I think we were both still a little bit hopeful that they would, and so we were still disappointed when they didn't.
I don't think it ruins the show if we find that out on the web show. I mean, that's the whole point, is to encourage us to watch the web show.
Yeah, obviously we're obviously going to watch the finale either way.
Yeah, it's not like, oh well, George is back in, I give up.
Although I think what they're doing is they're saying, you know, like basically the core Top Chef show, you should be able to watch this and know what you need to know out of it. And then
show a 5-second recap of him winning of Dougie winning a couple weeks in a row.
I know.
I think the problem is though, because of what you said on the show last year, they realized people were able to judge based on the of the chef who mysteriously comes out of the car or whatever.
We saw his wedding ring or something like
that.
Right?
And there's some clothing.
Or how they tap their foot.
So you were so good at sussing the night last year that they gave us no hints this time around.
That was annoying. Although, I think... So Sarah has a theory about this, though.
Wait, what was that? I remember.
It was about... it was from the interview with Dougie.
Oh, from your interview with Dougie. So when you guys talked to Dougie, one of you asked him a question about what he thought of George and all this stuff. And he spoke very highly of George and without any bitterness in his voice. And I kind of think that if he lost to George in Last Chance Kitchen, there would have been a tiny bit of bitterness.
Is he just a hell of a guy?
Well, definitely
that.
That is a good theory. However, I don't know if they had filmed the finale yet.
We couldn't figure out either.
I don't know. I think they film it because it seems like they film it after some of the show is aired. I think they are aware of how they came across in the show sometimes. So, they say, I was watching myself on TV and I saw this. I seem to remember that happening in finale interviews. And so I suspect they started filming it late. And so it's possible that the Dougie that we saw in Last Chance Kitchen this week was a post-Pack Your Mics Dougie.
That's true.
That was a Dougie who had met us. And so it changed.
Although the weather in San Miguel was mighty fine. I don't know if it'd be that nice at this time.
Well, that's true. It was mighty fine.
It was mighty fine.
Yeah.
Also, San Miguel looks mighty fine herself.
She does.
They were not hanging out in the impoverished parts of Mexico. That was gorgeous.
That's gringo heaven over there.
Did you guys notice how much Tom clearly enjoys saying vamos as far as let's go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird to say let's go when he means you guys need to start. So I think you should have been vam on, right?
What did you think of having the real contestants come up and just say hi while everybody
was so
cooking?
Weird. They were like, no one's awkwardly sitting on a stool during this, so let's bring in the new contestants. Because they didn't taste the clams. They just sat there and watched it.
No tasting, no questions besides hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And then also they have to leave for all the judging. Yeah. So they're surprised.
Super weird.
I had a question. Say besos. Gregory, that means kisses.
guys, weird thing that happened in Last Chance Kitchen. So they played a flashback to George being eliminated. And it looked like when he was I guess talking to the judges, he was way sweatier in the flashback than I remember him being in the first time we saw him. Is it possible they could have added this in post or alternatively shot it two ways? Or I don't know.
First episode, they actually photoshopped his forehead and didn't bother for Last Chance Kitchen.
That flashback, he looked very sweaty.
Really a lot sweatier than I remember.
And I wonder if they intentionally shoot around the sweatiness in the normal show because there was a bead of sweat about to fall off his nose into his food. And it's just gross to think how much chef sweat we probably eat on a given day.
Yeah.
So they're protecting the chefs and food industry.
I think so.
It's the biggest secret.
That's truly awful.
Ooh, wait, really quickly. What would you guys say to a chef-styled sponge that you sort of strap onto your nose and goes about
a sweatband that you put on your forehead?
Well,
just goes across your nose and your cheekbones and around the back of your head.
Exactly,
And it's made of maybe sponge towels or sponge towels ultra.
I would say, how much have you made this year with this? And then I would say, this is a product, not really a company. And then I'm out.
All right,
I'll fund you.
All right, thank you, Mark Cuban.
For 55%.
Shark Tank is
whoa. Are you Mr. Wonderful?
I mean, in this case, if I was Mr. Wonderful, I'd be like, all right, every time you sell one, I get 50 cents. Also, I own the whole company. Also, you're an idiot. Get out of here.
Wait, which is it? You can't have all those things.
He says all of them.
So who do you think, based on how the food looked and how it was described, who do you think's going to win Last Chance Kitchen?
This is a rough one. So they had to make clams and Mexican-inspired clams. And Doug's was steamed clams, charred pineapple jalapeno butter, tomatillo, tomatoes, pickle, onion. And I have to root for him because I have tasted Dougie's jalapeno butter on pancakes last week. And it was really good. But George took the clams out of their shells and put them into a salsa verde soup. And it did look like George's was just a little fancier because it was not in the shells anymore, I guess. But I just want Doug to win so bad.
I want him to win.
George's looked that good. I thought it looked kind of boring.
It looked like a soup.
I wouldn't...
Serranos and Tomatillos really. Is just sort of obvious. But
it seemed like pretty much the same ingredients on both of them. So
I like how Dougie had the grilled pineapple and he had some other stuff. So he had spicy and sweet
I think that's always a nice
and all the
move.
Stuff. And Tom described it. I just thought, you know, that it's a nice balance.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because Tom literally said, like, they're both perfect. I can't really decide. And I know he probably says, like, that's probably on purpose. He has to say that. But he did seem to genuinely have trouble.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's frustrating because that means no matter who wins, the other person is going to have done an incredible dish, and that's kind of tough.
But I think it probably won't haunt them in the same way. That's always what I'm trying to do.
I always wonder about that. It might haunt you worse if it seemed like yours was indistinguishable and then you still lost. Like
no, because like you know, leave it on the field, hold your head up high, like I don't know, 110%, no eye on team, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
location, but there is location. What are you just saying?
There is an eye in individual winner.
the two actually.
Yeah.
There's also an eye in Hidden Valley Ranch.
Mm.
So
three an individual winner.
What?
There's three eyes an individual winner.
No, there's four.
Holy shit, how many eyes are there? Man, we'll never know how many eyes there are in this. There's between one and eight eyes.
Only God knows how many eyes there are in individual winner. So a couple, just some final thoughts before we go. Nadia had a couple of questions for us on.
Oh, really? Was it a
mailbag? So one of the things she asks is, do you guys have any challenges or dishes you really want to see come out of Mexico? So, and I agree with, I think probably, we talked about this last week, but we're going to have a winner of Last Chance plus three chefs, so four chefs total. So they're going to have to at least, it's a two-part finale, so they'll have to at least eliminate one person next week, possibly two.
Yeah.
So next week we get kind of normal Top Chef-y challenges. What do you guys want to see? Just more beans?
Yeah, beans would be great, but I mean, I know it's not, they're not catering to me, so maybe... I want to have him innovate a Taco Bell item. So like I want him to innovate like the Doritos Locos tacos.
Your
I guess
challenge is fourth meal.
Yes.
Yeah, fourth meal.
Or like a Crunchwrap or something like that. Just like any of the crazy things. Because that's pretty innovative. What Taco Bell does. So
yeah,
I want to.
I like the idea that's like combine a garbage snack with a garbage taco.
Apparently that took like years of science.
Yeah, I've read about the science, so it's amazing.
Oh my gosh. You know, I don't have any specific challenges because I think, they're all going to like run around to a store they don't know, try to speak Spanish, get some ingredients, and try to cook the most delicious food possible in a kitchen that they are not familiar with. So it's going to be interesting no matter what.
Right.
However, what I want to hear is some judge, when the food's too heavy, go like, oh man, this made me want to take a siesta. And just like, or yeah, I can totally see the drinking this on the playa.
Or it's like, a fiesta in my boca. Yeah,
just like pretty hackneyed, like forcefully wedged in Spanish.
Ay caramba.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
What I really want to see is I want the challenge to be something like, make a mole. You know, something very specific. And then I want Gregory to say, I'm not going to get eliminated for making a perfect Thai curry. I want to see if you can test that theory.
Although they're not in Oaxaca, so they're probably not going to do mole.
Oh,
but
maybe a guacamole,
chips and salsa, and then he's just like, it's a fish.
Tiger.
Yeah,
this is really innovative for me.
It's a chip,
but I'm
of
using
skin
coconut,
Tom Ka.
Yeah. Which is tropical.
Actually, here's the thing: if they had done like, if chips and salsa had turned into like a spicy curry with like chicken skin and like salmon skin as the chips. That could have worked.
Oh, that sounds horrifying.
it's not really chips and salsa, though.
It's innovative.
So the other thing that Nadia asked was, how bad do you feel for Harley that May called him annoying and then called Melissa like a sister?
Oh,
you actually have an actual
sad.
Like a brother. And
yeah,
you
well, but you don't, he's not, yeah.
Also, she was way harsh on Harley with the whole, like, he's been in school for 10 years things, and then we find out he's been in pharmacy school. That really does take a long time.
Yeah, you gotta step up and then step back down, and then you gotta walk to the shelves and come back.
Did you ask them like, for their date of birth?
Yeah.
They have to memorize all the stuff about interactions and what
I imagine
to use
you have
what
to,
for
pretty
what.
Sure the computer does most of that.
You have to clean off like the pressure cuff thing. Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, pharmacists don't take your blood pressure?
No, the pressure cuff machine, though. Oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah, you have definitely. To answer questions about what aisle stuff is on when there's nobody who actually needs your services.
All right, really pharmacists tough. Who are listening, I want you to write in and put these men to shame.
Sorry, pharmacists.
I felt a little bad for Harley, but also it seems like a pretty accurate representation about how May feels about each of those people.
Yeah. So, I think it was weird that she, like, they had her talking bad about him again the next week. Like, this episode is over and he's getting, she's this more Harley shade. Weird.
Fair enough.
Also, Harley shade, how cool would it be if Harley Davidson had, like a motorcycle with, like, an umbrella attached to the top of it? The Harley shade.
I don't understand what gets you.
The Harley shade. It's like
Harley
a tropical
Davidson
thing.
Branded sunglasses, which are Harley shades.
Oh, good.
I mean, those package deal. Totally impractical to put on a motorcycle.
I hope that those are on display next week at New York Fishing Week.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, was anyone else surprised that that Melissa is like May's older sister?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I totally was surprised by that. I was like, why is she older? Yeah, I don't think
I mean, how much older? Probably like 2 years at the most, right? Yeah.
Right, which is an older sister.
Although
yeah. That is how that works. It's not just like 2 years are now lower. It's just round down to younger.
It's true.
I don't know their ages, and it just seemed... I thought it was backwards. I thought it was weird the way she said that.
I would have guessed Melissa was older, but just
really?
But not by much. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Melissa's slightly 30 taller? And May's 28.
Really? But May has never smiled, so maybe that's why she seems older.
Did you guys enjoy the supercut of all May's faces?
I did.
That
was the first
pretty
funny
good.
Cut of the season that I enjoyed.
And Gregory's riffing on it was pretty good.
It was totally good. Yeah. It was really funny. She does, and she doesn't. And they like when they were showing her not smiling while she won. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Although she did smile a little bit this time.
Just a little bit. Just a little. All right. Any final thoughts, Caleb? Do you have anything to contribute? You have anything you want to say? He grunted and then pushed the microphone over. Very confident.
All right. Well, we know how you feel, Caleb.
All right. Well, it's okay, Caleb. Maybe you can still go to Mexico. It was kind of an obvious move, but you did it well.
Yeah, it was better than George's dish.
It's okay. Next time, honey. You'll get it.
Yeah. Chris, any final thoughts? What are you looking forward to?
I already said the broken Spanglish that I'm sure the judges will say. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing, I'm really excited about Last Chance Kitchen and seeing who wins.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit
anxious about this week because I just want to see the finals. I just want to, I want George to be done. I want it to be over and I just want to see them cook at the finals.
Yeah.
I
want to know who wins. Pretty lucky this season with a pretty talented group of chefs who've lasted for the last third of this.
Totally.
So I feel generally just good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about it. It's going to be great. Let's see. Do we eliminate somebody this week? I think we do.
We sure did.
I think we did. So thanks for joining us. Everybody, thanks for listening. If you have any more questions for us, go to packyourmics.com. Let us know what you thought about next week's episode at packyourmics on Twitter, facebook.com/packyourmics. And we'll be back again next week. We got two more episodes this year. It's getting down to it. Thanks for being here as always, Ez and Sarah and Caleb.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Nope. Like he was going to say something, didn't say something. Chris, alone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the field is narrowing down, but I'm super glad to have been here, and, you know, I'm looking forward to next time.
I think the thing I'm looking forward to most next week is having Megan and Tanya back.
Oh, yeah, me too.
All right, I'm Alex in Portland. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. Bye!
Bye!
Wait, Kristen get eliminated?
We'll find out next week if you get eliminated or not. Cliffhanger ending.
Wait.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Good.